Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, How to Stay Married by Harrison Scott Key is a memoir that uses humor, candor, and spiritual reflection to examine a marriage shaken by infidelity. Rather than offering a conventional relationship guide, the book reconstructs the emotional and moral fallout of betrayal and the difficult work of deciding whether a marriage can survive it. Key writes from inside the crisis, blending comedy with confession, so that pain, embarrassment, resentment, and devotion are all visible at once. The result is both a personal recovery narrative and a broader meditation on marriage as a serious communal and ethical commitment. The book is also notable for resisting one-sided storytelling. It includes perspectives that complicate the narrator's account and emphasizes the role of family, church, and shared responsibility in confronting private damage. Its purpose is not to provide easy solutions, but to show how forgiveness, honesty, and endurance can coexist with unresolved hurt. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, infidelity as the event that reorders the entire marriage. The book begins with betrayal as the central rupture, but its significance goes beyond the discovery of an affair. Key treats infidelity as a force that destabilizes identity, domestic routine, trust, and moral confidence all at once. The crisis is not presented as a single dramatic scene that can be neatly resolved. Instead, it becomes the condition under which the marriage, the narrator, and the family must continue living. This matters because the memoir is less interested in scandal than in aftermath. Key shows that betrayal creates practical and psychological disorder. The betrayed spouse must deal with anger, humiliation, suspicion, and the collapse of the story he thought he was living inside. At the same time, the book avoids turning infidelity into a simplistic morality tale. It asks what happens when love, habit, obligation, and wounded loyalty all remain in the same room. That tension gives the memoir its force and explains why it is not reducible to advice or confession alone. Secondly, humor as a tool for telling the truth without softening it. One of the book's defining features is its comic voice, which is not used to dismiss the seriousness of the situation, but to make it speakable. Key's humor creates distance just enough to let readers face painful material without the memoir becoming flatly grim or self-indulgent. The jokes, exaggerations, and sharp observations expose absurdity inside devastation, which is one reason the book can be both funny and emotionally severe. This method is important because it reflects a real human coping strategy. People often survive unbearable experiences by noticing what is ridiculous, contradictory, or painfully ordinary about them. In this memoir, humor also functions as a truth test. A polished, solemn account might conceal vanity or control, but the comic mode keeps the narrator exposed and vulnerable. It prevents the story from becoming a performance of moral superiority. Instead, the reader sees how laughter can coexist with shame, rage, and grief. The result is a memoir whose tone deepens rather than dilutes the emotional stakes. Thirdly, marriage as a communal and not merely private commitment. The book repeatedly argues, implicitly and explicitly, that marriage cannot be understood as a sealed-off private contract between two people. The wider social and religious environment matters, especially when a marriage is under strain. Key's account highlights the role of church, friends, and family in shaping the meaning of fidelity and repair. This is one of the memoir's most distinctive ideas, because many contemporary accounts of marital conflict focus almost entirely on individual feelings and personal autonomy. Key instead shows that marriage is embedded in a network of witnesses, expectations, and moral language. That perspective changes the stakes of the narrative reconciliation. Is not just a private emotional decision, but a matter involving community norms and shared obligations. The book does not idealize those communities, and it does not suggest that religious belonging automatically heals damage. However, it does treat disconnection as spiritually and relationally costly. By doing so, it presents marriage as a public reality with private consequences, and that distinction gives the memoir a broader cultural argument. Fourthly, the value of hearing both sides in a story about betrayal. A striking element in the book is its willingness to complicate the narrator's authority. In a genre often dominated by one person's version of events, Key includes material that broadens the account and resists simple blame allocation. This matters because infidelity narratives easily become moral theater, with one side cast entirely as victim and the other as villain. By allowing additional perspective, the memoir acknowledges that a marriage is shaped by shared history, patterns of weakness, and mutual misunderstanding, even when betrayal is real and devastating. The result is not exoneration, but complexity. Readers are pushed to consider how incomplete any single account can be, especially when pain is still active. This approach also deepens the ethical quality of the memoir. It suggests that honest remembrance requires more than self-justification. It requires the courage to admit the limits of one's own story. In a book about repair, this structural choice is important because repair itself depends on seeing another person as more than an enemy or symbol. Lastly, forgiveness, mercy. and the limits of closure, the memoir's deepest concern is not whether a marriage can be saved in some abstract sense, but what forgiveness actually means after betrayal. Key is attentive to the distance between moral language and lived experience. Forgiveness is not shown as instant relief, emotional clarity, or a tidy ending. Instead, it is part of a slower and more uncertain process that includes grief, self-examination, faith, and the willingness to keep facing the wounded reality, rather than escaping it. The book is especially strong in showing that mercy is not cheap. It may preserve a marriage, but it does not erase memory or restore innocence. That makes the memoir more realistic than books that promise transformation through technique alone. It also explains why the story has spiritual weight. Forgiveness is treated as an act that reaches beyond personal preference into the logic of grace, obligation, and endurance. By keeping closure out of reach, Key offers a more credible account of what repair looks like when the past cannot be undone. In conclusion, How to Stay Married will be most valuable to readers interested in marriage, infidelity, memoir, and the intersection of faith with private crisis. It is especially relevant for readers who want a serious account of relational repair, without the polish of a conventional self-help book. Those facing marital strain may find it clarifying because it does not minimize betrayal or pretend reconciliation is easy. Readers interested in literary nonfiction will also appreciate its unusual tonal balance. The book is funny without becoming trivial, and reflective without becoming abstract. What makes it stand out in its genre is the combination of sharp comic prose, moral honesty, and structural complexity. Many books about marriage either prescribe solutions or narrate suffering in a strictly tragic mode. Key does neither. He presents marriage as messy, public, spiritually loaded, and resistant to neat conclusions. That gives the memoir a wider reach than a typical crisis narrative. It offers practical value by modeling honesty, self-scrutiny, and the importance of community. But its deeper value is intellectual. It forces readers to rethink what fidelity, forgiveness, and commitment actually mean when tested by real damage. If you would like to support Harrison Scott Key, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.